Good morning, everyone. I want to thank each of you for tuning in with us here today. My name is Eric Hicks. I am the minister for the Hiawatha Church of Christ and the Sabetha Church of Christ. At the Church of Christ, our goal is simply to be New Testament Christians. The way we accomplish that is by speaking where the Bible speaks and remaining silent where the Bible is silent. If that is something that you have been searching for, we invite you to come and join us for worship service. In Hiawatha, we are located at 3rd and Osage. We begin on Sunday morning at 8:30 for Bible study, 9:30 for worship service, and then on Tuesday evening, beginning at 6:30, we have our midweek Bible study. In Sabetha, we are located at 3rd and Oregon. We begin on Sunday morning at 10:15 for Bible study, 11:15 for worship service. At 5 o'clock, we have our evening worship service. And then on Wednesday evening, beginning at 7, we have our midweek Bible study. If you're in the area, we would love to have you come and join us for worship service. And let us be New Testament Christians together. Patterns are used in a variety of ways. We understand the importance and necessity of them, especially if we want to replicate something over and over again. This is true in a variety of applications. We could think of woodworking, for example. When a person builds a certain project, maybe a piece of furniture, and they want to replicate that over and over again, each one of the individual pieces generally have a pattern that they go by so that all the pieces, when put together, can form that same piece of furniture over and over again. And thus, the replication is made possible. When we think about that in a spiritual sense, especially when it comes to the pattern of New Testament Christianity, we do see that there is a pattern that is set forth in the New Testament for the pattern of the way the Christian life is to be lived, how a person becomes a Christian, and how God is to be worshipped. All of that is according to the pattern that we do see contained within the New Testament. I want to begin this morning by talking about patterns and certainly understanding the pattern in according to its definition and also seeing this pattern in practice as well. When you think about the definition, especially in the spiritual sense of the term, we see that there are three basic ways that a pattern is manifested to us within Scripture. One is by the pattern of morality. Think about this. In Philippians chapter 3 and beginning in verse 17, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me over there. This is Philippians chapter 3, 17 through verse number 21. Paul talks about this pattern of morality, and he says this. He says, "Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." Philippians chapter 3, 17 through 21. Well, in this context, Paul is urging the brethren there at Philippi to follow his example. He has left them a pattern, again, to follow in the path of righteousness. And again, it's in direct contrast to the example of others who were walking according to their own dictates of their own heart. They were following what they wanted to do rather than what God wanted them to do. And as Paul pointed out, their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. And so Paul says, follow our example, because the example that they are setting is one that leads to everlasting life, because they're following after the Savior. Paul also urged Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. We find Paul telling Timothy to let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. And so Paul gives several different ways in which Timothy should be an example to the believers, but reminding him of the importance that when you're an example, you are a pattern of morality toward others, and so you want to make sure that you guard that example and set a good one for them. There's also not only the pattern of morality, but also the pattern of practicality. We see that quite often through Scripture. We remember back in the days of Noah. Noah was given the instructions on how to build the ark. Some of the things that God told him very specifically, you find in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 14 through 16. God told him to make himself or for himself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. He said the length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit above and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with it lower and second and third decks. And so that's some of the instructions that God was given to Noah on how to build the ark. If you skip down there in the same chapter to verse number 22, you find that Noah did according to all that God commanded him, and so he did. And so Noah was very faithful in obedience to following the pattern for the ark that God had given, and thus him and his family were spared from the wrath of the flood that was indeed to come. Another example of this pattern of practicality, not only with Noah and the ark, but also with Moses and building of the tabernacle. Now, of course, Moses is given some very specific instructions as to not only the construction of the tabernacle, but also the instructions of all of the furnishings that were to go in the tabernacle and be a part of that Old Testament worship. And so not only do you have the instructions of the tabernacle, the furnishings, but even how they are to be arranged. All of that, God is very specific on how that is to be done. In Hebrews chapter 8, we find in, let's start in verse number 4 and we'll go through verse 5. It says this, the Hebrew writer writes, he says, for if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown to you on the mountain. And so one of the things that God told Moses to make sure that he followed was that pattern, the very specific detail of how things were to be built, how they were to be designed, how the furniture was to be arranged, all of that according to the pattern that God showed him on the mountain. And of course, one of the things that we find about Moses, like Noah, he was faithful in all that God had told him to do. And so he followed that very pattern. And so far we have seen the pattern of morality, the pattern of practicality, and that leads us with our last one on this particular point as far as how the pattern is defined, and that is the pattern of doctrine. We find in Romans chapter 6, 17 and 18, for example, Paul discusses this. He says, Romans 6, 17, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. And so Paul talks about that form of doctrine that was delivered to them, that even though they were slaves of sin, how did that change? They obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, that pattern of doctrine that was given to them, and thus they were set free from sin, no longer to be a slave of sin, but to be a servant of righteousness. We find also in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 13, Paul writes this. He says, hold fast to young Timothy, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. And so there he's reminding him of the pattern of sound words that is to be followed throughout the life of Timothy, throughout the life of a Christian. We are to hold fast to the words of life that we read of in the Word of God. The second aspect of this, when it comes to the pattern, is not only the pattern in definition, but also the pattern being put into practice. And we look at the pattern that God set forth for the church has been set forth from the very beginning. If you have your Bibles in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse number 7, and let's read through verse number 12. Ephesians 1, 7 through 12, Paul writes this. He says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him we have also obtained an inheritance, and being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory." And so one thing that Paul points out about the mystery of the will of God, that is that salvation would come through Christ Jesus, that Jesus would establish his church, and all of that was from the very beginning. The pattern of New Testament Christianity was not something that was thrown together at the last minute, but something that we see was from the very, very beginning in the mind of God. When we look at that, not only do we see the pattern from the very beginning, but we also see the pattern that was taught by the apostles themselves. In fact, we remember that one of the influencing factors was the very prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17, 20 and 21. When Jesus prayed this, he said, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me." And so Jesus prayed for unity among the believers, not just of those that were there, but also future believers, that they would all be one together in him. And so what did the apostles do with them? Well, the apostles went about and they preached that very thing. We find one such instance in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. Paul wrote this. He says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." And so there's other passages that also go along with this. In chapter 4 and verse number 17, Paul talks about the doctrine that he preaches, not just in one place, but that he presents to all the churches. And so the same unity of doctrine, the same unity of thought goes throughout all of the congregations there in the first century church. And so thus you have unity, thus you have a pattern that really pulls the whole church together and makes them one. If you look over to Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 4 and 5, Paul writes this. As a matter of fact, we'll go 4 through 6 actually. Paul says that there is one body and one spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And so there is that unity. Once again, the pattern, there is but one faith, there is but one body, one spirit, and one baptism, one God and Father of us all. And so thus we have the pattern, thus we have, when we follow that pattern, we also have unity. In chapter, the same chapter, Ephesians 4, skip down just to verse 13, Paul writes this again. Matter of fact, let's back up just a little bit. Verses 11 through 13, Paul writes, he says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints and for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." And then we come to verse 13, and he says, "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature and fullness of Christ." And so there he talks about the idea that God equipped his saints with various talents, abilities, different roles that they had within the body of Christ. But the whole purpose of that was that they all could come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. And so there you have the unity of faith, you have the knowledge, all of that according to the pattern that we find in the New Testament. There is also a pattern of truth. When we look at the words of Christ once again, in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, Jesus was speaking to those who believed in him, and he said these words. He says, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And so there is that idea of being unified together in the truth of God's word. And so how do we do that? How do we know the truth? How does the truth make us free? Jesus said it is when we abide in his word, and that we will know truth, and that truth will set us free. Of course, his audience, they were somewhat confused by that idea of being set free. They were wanting to know, what are we being set free from? And so Jesus tells them there in verse number 34, "Most assuredly I say to you that whoever commits a sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son will make you free, you will be free indeed." And so what he's talking about is being set free from the bondage of sin. And when we abide in the words of Christ, that is, we're hearing his words, we're putting them into practice, we're following that faithful pattern of New Testament Christianity, we know the truth, and the truth does indeed set us free. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, Peter said, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." And so how have our souls been purified? Our souls are purified in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. And so that is the essence of following the truth, following the pattern that we see in the New Testament. And when we do that, we certainly are living our lives in such a way that is pleasing unto God. Think about this last one, and that is the pattern itself is also like a seed. We remember back in Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, Jesus himself is given the explanation on the parable of the sower. And in verse number 11, he tells us very plainly that the seed is the word of God. Remember, the sower went out, he planted the seed, and the seed fell among the wayside, it fell among the stony ground, it fell among the thorny ground, and on good ground. And so as Jesus is explaining this, he tells you the seed is the word of God. And so when the word of God is planted, what is produced? Well, we know that from nature that like things beget like things. And so when we're talking about the seed, what does it produce? Well, it produces Christians. And so when we're looking at the word of God, the unity that is in the word of God, the pattern of New Testament Christianity, when it is planted and faithfully followed, it produces Christians. And so we think about that example. One of the great examples I like to use is thinking of old Josiah. We remember back in his days in 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and also chapter 35 that the book of the law was found. And during that time, it was found, it was brought to Josiah, it was read, and he knew the nation was in trouble because they had not been faithfully following the pattern of the law of Moses. And so what did Josiah do? What was his response? Well, he started implementing those practices of the law of Moses once again to get the people back on track with God. How was he able to do that? How was he able to replicate the law of Moses so many years removed from the days of Moses? Well, the answer was because he went back to the law, what was written, and he followed it. And when he followed that pattern, he was able to replicate it. The same is true today when we think about the New Testament church. How do we replicate the church of the New Testament? Well, the way that we do it is by going back to the New Testament and following the pattern of New Testament Christianity. Again, speaking where the Bible speaks, being silent where the Bible is silent, and when we faithfully follow that pattern of New Testament Christianity, what is produced? Well, New Testament Christianity is produced, and the church that we read about in the New Testament is indeed replicated. It is indeed here. And again, when we follow that faithfully, following the pattern, we become that church that we read of in the New Testament. What a joy it is that we have the Word of God, that we can read and study and learn from it the things that God would have us to know, that we might follow His Word faithfully. And when we do not just think that we're pleasing unto God, but we can know that we are pleasing unto Him. When we think about the words, again, that John wrote in 1 John 5 and verse 13, he said, "These words I write to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have salvation." We can know through the reading and the studying of the Word of God that salvation is indeed ours. Would you like to know more about God and His holy will for you? We invite you to log on to the website, hiawathacoc.com. That is hiawathacoc.com. There you'll find some information about the church, about the Word of God. You'll also be able to submit a Bible question or make a comment about today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. And again, I want to thank each of you for tuning in with us here today. May God bless each of you, and have a great day.